Tonight, turn to Revelation, and we'll try to finish up chapter 18 of Revelation. And I said last time, I believe I was talking about all the merchants of the earth and all that mourn because of the Babylon the Great has fallen and all that. The Catholic Church has more, they're richer than any organization in the world. They're richer. If you put Apple and what's the other one? Microsoft together, the Catholic Church would still be richer than those two together and more. They have more hands-on funds than any other organization in the world. Microsoft and Apple and all, they got everything tied up in stocks and all that. But the Catholic Church has their own bank. They have the Vatican Bank where all the gold is stored. They have gold from Germany. They have gold from Russia. They have gold from around the world, and they store it in the bank. Plus, they have control of a place in Belgium. It's called in Brussels, Belgium, where they have the big computer called the Beast. And they also have control of the banks there. All the banks are controlled. And they wrote a book, said none dare call it treason. And they're about the Illuminati and all that, where all the world richest men in the world got together and conspired how they're going to get richer and get more control and cut up the world in pieces so they can control it. And the Catholic Church is already got it divided up, and the Antichrist is going to have it divided up. And that's why you'll find in chapter 17, the great whore, look at verse 1, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And the woman is on a beast. Look at verse 5 or 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And then it says, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So it says Mystery Babylon the Great is connected with Islam, and they hook up. And it's sitting on a seven-headed dragon. So this thing is such a mystery that John is amazed by it. But all the kings of the world, all the kings of the earth are going to be dumbfounded when this church gets destroyed by the Antichrist. And all up in heaven, they're rejoicing because the thing's destroyed. And I think about today. I think about here. You got Puerto Rico. It's had the hurricane. They wiped it out. Wiped out the island. Not killing everybody, but all that stuff, but it wiped out all their communications, wiped out food, gas, and a lot of that. And then you got Mexico, you got this earthquake that happened there, and it's just devastation everywhere you turn. It's around the world, devastation has happened. You say, what is that, Mother Nature? We went through that last week. No, that's not Mother Nature. That's God, the Father, warning people. Like that brother said, Irma come across Key West, and God's sending up warnings, and God warning people. And God's constantly warning people. But can you imagine, we're reading the book of Revelation, and you read about all the devastation. The Bible says a third of the ships are destroyed. A third of the fish in the sea are destroyed. A third of mankind's destroyed. I mean, folks, there's not going to be enough people to be able to take and rescue anybody during the tribulation period. That's that period, that seven-year period. And that's when all hell breaks loose. Men always say this is hell on earth. It's going to turn into hell on earth. Say, are you looking forward? I'm not going to be here. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. This is Revelation chapter 4. It says, come up hither. We're out of here. The church is out of here. And then from Revelation 4 to Revelation 19, you got devastation on this earth. I mean, you got all hell breaking loose. Why? Because of the wickedness of men. You say, well, you know what? The Bible says, since wickedness is not judged by God in Ecclesiastes swiftly, men are more bold. And today we're seeing it more and more. You got the homosexuals, the lesbian, all that stuff, they come out of the closet. I mean, in the past 20 years, who would ever think, 15 years, who would ever think that if you're going to be a president of the United States, you've got to have their support or be able to say, I'm for them and I'm for the lesbian, homosexual, I'm for all, you know, it's like saying I'm for Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm for all the perversion that's going on in the world, little children being molested, all that stuff. I'm for all that. That's what they're basically, coming out of the closet with. So you got all this stuff, and this church is behind a lot of it. And the Antichrist is behind it. And they're pushing this stuff. And God, and what they say about the Bible and the church and the preaching, they said, man, we don't want none of that. We don't want God. We don't want God involved. We don't want the Lord to tell us what to do. We don't want the Bible. It's going to slowly but surely going to come where preaching is going to stop. They're going to try to stop preaching. They're going to try to stop in America. You said in America, they're going to try to stop it. They're going to try to stop passing out tracts, witnessing. They'll try to do all that. And they're trying to do it now. Ken was up there in Philadelphia, him and Joe passing out tracts, and they came up and said, you can't do that. And Ken said to her, the lady, they sent me a picture of Ken talking to a cop, and she was on a bicycle. Ken said, I'm an American citizen. I know the constitutional right. We can have pass out tracts. She said, you can't congregate. He said, we're not congregating. We're passing out tracts as we walk. And then, you know, it went on from there. I texted him back. I said, tell Ken, take a knee and protest. But anyway, they're constantly pushing. And the reason why, because there's a spirit of Antichrist now. There's a spirit. And the spirit of Antichrist, people don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. My nephew Chris called me the other day. He said, Uncle Alan, he said, this millennial generation, and Chris is of the millennial generation, my nephew. He said, man, the millennial generation is so fickle. He said, now thank God if you're in the millennial generation that you're not fickle. You're pretty steady in your Bible. And if you read your Bible, you'll be steady. If you're not, but he said, man, I got people come to our church. He said, they can take it or leave it. He said, I try my best to get the Bible in them, try my best to get them to grow. He said, but they come and then they won't show up for a month and a half. And then they come back. And then he says, you're constantly trying to tell them you need to be more faithful. You need to be in your Bible. And he said, they look at you like a tree full of owls, man. They don't even know what you're talking about. And he said, that's just the generation we're in. And I said, Chris, it's going to get like that. It's been like that. It's been like that for years and years to come. But I tell you what, it's getting worse and worse. And that's why you train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. Now look in chapter 18. It says, after these things, we reread some of this last week. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul bird or spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And we went through about the birds last week. I talked about birds and how there's unclean birds and there's clean birds. Noah sent out a raven out of the ark, and a raven didn't come back, but the dove did. The raven went out and didn't come back. When he couldn't find a place to put his feet, but he didn't come back. It says, all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. There's a great verse. I showed this the folks, that Catholic folks that got saved, and I tell them, the Bible says you need to come out of it. Come out of that mess. Come out of any false religion. The Catholic Church is going to be the one world church. One day it's going to be the one world church under the Antichrist, one world. That's what they have, a one world congress of churches right now. And the one world congress of churches, they get together and they talk about their little differences, but most of them don't have no differences other than a Bible believer. If we came in there as Bible believers, it'd be just havoc. It'd be havoc. But the one world religion, one world church, and the World Council of Churches right now are getting together for that day. See, folks, that day's coming no matter what you do, no matter what you say, the day's coming. You say, why? Because God said it's going to. Amen. You can't stop it. There's no way you can stop it because God said it was going to come. God said the Antichrist is going to come. God said there's going to be a one world religion, one world one world of nations. And the Catholic Church, and a Muslim showed me this. When I went down to hear this Muslim speak, and he was showing where the world's already been divided up in 10 toes of Daniel. It's already been divided. They've already got it set. They already know how it's going to be. They already know that. And so this thing is set in stone, and it's coming. He says, and for verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. And I said, when God starts doing something like we went back into Exodus last week, where God told Moses, he said, I heard my people cry. And when God says that's it, that's it. When God says something, that's it. And that's why God gives men and nations time to repent. He gave churches in Revelation chapter 3, 2 and 3. He says, I give you a space to repent. Now, it says here 1 hour this place is destroyed. 1 hour. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 3, or 2. Look back in 2. Look what he says. He says in verse 5. Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Look, the next one. Look at verse 10. He said, fear none of the things. That ain't it. No, go down to verse 16. Look at 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which things I hate. The Nicolaitans is where the clergy is over the people to the sense of ruling rather than leading. And God says, I hate that. I hate it when the clergy is ruling rather than leading in the right way. And it says, so it's out them that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Wow. Man, that's something. So when God gives a man to repent, gives you time, and it gives a person, you better take that time, you better repent. If God's dealt with you, even in your Christian life, now, you know, the Bible says we're his children, and he deals with us as his children, and he loves us, and he protects us, and he takes care of us, but he gives us time to repent as well. He wants us, or he's going to deal with us, and he'll deal with us in a different way. But go back to Revelation chapter 18. Look what the Bible says here. It says in verse 6, it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled with, filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath in her heart, I sit the queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. They say the Catholic Church, they call her the Queen of Heaven. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, talking about Mary, and not Mary the Jesus mother. That's another Mary they put up to be their queen. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. And when they shall see the smoke of her burning, stand afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And she controls the commerce. She controls the gold. Look what it says in verse 12. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purples, silk, scarlet, all twined wood, and all manners of vessels of ivory, all manners of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil. She controls all that. And fine flour, and wheat. And she controls the commerce of money, and food, and it says beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, and the souls of men. He said, that's in the past. No, there's slavery going on now. People are enslaved to all kinds of stuff. And the Catholic Church have control of slaves and souls of men. And you know what? You think about that. How many men and women has they damned to hell? How many people? They've damned to hell. The fruits that thy soul lusts after are departed from thee. And all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by the sea, stood afar off. and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. You know what that's indicating? That God's going to burn Rome and the Vatican. At Vatican, they have their own state. The Vatican has their own ships. They have their own. They have their own air force. They have it all. They have it all. And cry when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate." So who made her desolate? Oh, the Antichrist and the kings. Well, actually, the Bible tells you the kings that were in power hated her, and they end up devouring her. And verse 20, up in heaven, they're rejoicing. Down here on earth, everybody's crying and weeping over her. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." What I tell folks, I say, you know what we got to do? As Christians, you got to line up with what God hates and what God loves. You got to line up. You got to line up for what God hates. As his children, we're supposed to line up with the Father and the Son. God hates Nicolaitans. God hates hypocrisy. He hates people that put on an act and show and act religious when they're not. He hates people that say they're Christians and they're not. You got religion that says they're, you got the Mormons. You know, the Mormons and the Catholic Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they always say, "Yes, sir, we believe the Bible. Yes, sir, we got the Bible." Mormons will say, they'll carry a King James Bible. They never open it. They'll carry one, and they'll hand you the Book of Mormons. They'll say, "The Book of Mormons is equal to the King James Bible," which is a lie. The Catholic Church say the Apocrypha and the in our creeds and our laws are equal with the Bible. No, it's not. And, you know, all these different religions will try to say everything's equal with God in the Bible, and it's not. And so up in heaven, they're saying, "Rejoice over her." You know what? If I was a devil, I wouldn't change a thing. The devil knows how to damn people to hell, and he damns religious people to hell, good people to hell. He deceives them. And you know, the Bible, you know, a person can't be deceived if they want the truth. If they'll say, honestly, "God, I want truth." If they'll talk to God and say, "God, give me truth." If they just say, "Well, I got the truth. I'm going to follow my religion. I'm going to follow my church. I'm going to do what I'll tell you this. No church on the face of this earth has got it. The Bible has got it. Jesus Christ. If you say, "Well, I'm going to follow the Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I was born Baptist. I'm going to die a Baptist." And you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Going to hell. And Baptist is not going to save you. Being a Baptist is not going to save you. Being a Methodist is not going to save you. Any religion is not going to save you. And see, that's why I'm saying religion teaches, Mormons teach, if you're not a Mormon, you're going to go to hell. If you're not a Catholic, you're going to go to hell. If you're not a Jehovah's Witness, they don't even believe in hell. And they say, well, hell is on this, going to the ground. So you got all these religions teaching this stuff, and it's a lie. So that's why it's so important to know your Bible. To know what this book says. Up in heaven, they're rejoicing. Down here, everybody's crying. And, you know, it's just like this. It's like we have a loved one that's saved. And the Bible says that we weep not as others which have no hope. Well, we don't weep and cry like others that have no hope. When we have a brother or sister that passed away, they're saved. We're weeping over them. We love them. We miss them. But they're with the Lord. I mean, they're in heaven. Guess what? They're rejoicing. They're up there rejoicing. We're sad. We was just talking about my grandkids riding down the road today. They was talking about people passed away. And Boo Boo, she said, "I miss Brother George." I said, "I do too, honey." And she said, "I miss Pop Pop." I said, "Yeah, I do too." And she was telling me about different ones. They were just talking, you know, kids talk. And she said, "I miss this one. I miss that. And I miss my dog. I miss my cat that died." And she's telling all that. But I said, man, up in heaven, if they're saved, they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. Brother Keith, he's not sad anymore. He's rejoicing. We're missing them down here. We weep when we think about them, but they're rejoicing. And up in heaven, they're rejoicing over the church, this false religion being burned up or being destroyed. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harps and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman. It's got to see. It's just it hits about the financial world. It hits the clothing world. It hits the food world. It hits everything. The Catholic Church has got their hands in everything, and then it's showing you the. It says, no more at all in thee. No craftsman, whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of a bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more. It's a church. No more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And for by thy, look at this, underline this, for by thy sorceries were all nations, what? Deceived. A religion that deceives and deceives people and makes them think they're Christian when they're not. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, of the saints, of all that was slain upon the earth. So then we get to chapter 19. Chapter 19, boy, I tell you what, that's going to be something else. Chapter 19, already the tribulation is past. Chapter 19, we're coming to the end of it. End of the tribulation period, which is right here. Chapter 19, you got Jesus Christ coming back. Here all this stuff happens. All this, what book of Revelation we read, all this is right in here. And that's just part of it, just part of it. Here's the woman on the dragon, all that, what we just read. That woman. Up here in heaven, there's a marriage with Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, all that's going on in heaven. So here, folks, up in heaven, they're rejoicing. Down on the earth, all hell breaks loose. And I was just watching the news tonight saying, they were saying, we can't get food in here. We can't get in here fast enough. We can't get on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? With all this stuff going to happen, when you read Revelation chapter 4 on, look back to chapter 6. Look back to 6. Chapter 6, look at what it says. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. This is the beginning of it. And one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given on him. That's the Antichrist. And he went forth conquering to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse, which was red. And power was given him that sat upon thereon to take peace from the earth. We've seen that right now, man. And that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Look at verse 5. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. They're starting out. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. And it says, when he had, why? Because the Antichrist and the woman has power over the oil. And I've said this back when I was teaching it, when Bush went over the first time into Saudi Arabia and all that stuff. I say, went over there. They said, we didn't go over for oil. They went over for oil. They went over. And that's why Saddam Hussein set all the oil wells on fire. He set them on fire. Why? Because we went after the oil. It says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was Death. Hell followed with him. They made a movie about Clint Eastwood being this. And power was given on him over onto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. The animals are going to turn against man and start attacking man out of nowhere. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. So it's getting more drastic. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? This is 144,000 and the rest of them. And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And that it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also of and their brethren that should be killed, Jews going to be killed, as they were and should be fulfilled. And verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. They talk about the blood moons. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, and when she has shaken of her mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and the islands were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and great men and the rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and every bondman, slaves, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. So this chapter 6, you go through the tribulation one time, and it gives you a brief abbreviation of tribulation. And then 7 starts the second time. And then you go to chapter 12, you go through it the third time. And then you go back, you go to chapter 15, you go through it the fourth time. So what we just finished up in chapter 17, 18 was the fourth time through. Just like you got the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's giving you four perspectives of different perspectives of the tribulation period. So the Bible is not hard to understand. It's just hard to believe, especially when it comes to the book of Revelation. You say, man, all this stuff is going to happen. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. And it's building up right now. You got North Korea. You got Iran. You say, why would the Muslims want to do what they want? They want to kill every infidel. They want to kill every Christian. They want to kill every Jew. They want to drive them in and say, why? Why is that hatred so bad? Why is it? It's because it goes all the way back in the Bible, the Genesis, with Ishmael and Jacob. And man, it goes all the way back there. It goes back. That thing carries on through. You've got, and then say, what? Why is this stuff coming to pass? Well, God told Daniel this is the way it's going to be, to chapter 2 of Daniel. And then you got Daniel given the visions of the different men that was going to be in power. So this thing, you can't beat it, man. You can't beat the Bible when it comes to pinpointing things. I mean, I think what I want to do, every day I want to thank God for saving my soul and knowing I'm going to heaven and knowing this book is real and it's right. And people need to get saved. And if you got loved ones and friends and family, you want to see them saved, you better witness to them. You better live for God in front of them. You better be a real Christian, not a phony, not a fake. Don't be a fake. God doesn't like fakes. Christian, other people in the world don't even like fakes. The world doesn't like people to act like they're a Christian and they're not. And so you got religions that's saying they're Christian and they're not. I was in the Chick-fil-A last week, I think it was, and it was a bunch of Mormons come in. Boys and young men, they're clean-looking young guys, and they're, you know, that's what the Mormon Church, they send these guys out. They have to do a three-year missionary tour, two-year tour. And they've got to go do that, and then they never have to witness anymore. They don't have to do nothing anymore, as long as they do those 2 years. And they send them out, young men, they look good, clean, and they, you know, look responsible and all that stuff. And the Mormon Church tries to attract the young people, try to get them in. And they're deceiving. Deceiving. I sat and talked to a couple of Mormons. They don't know whether they're going to heaven or not.
Right.
They don't know. You ask them, pinpoint them. Are you sure, 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Well, nobody can know that, they say. Well, you take them over in the Bible and show them. These things have been written on you that believe in the name of the Son of God. You mean know that you have eternal life. So people, religion deceives. And you got religions wanting to kill each other. And it's you say, how can we stop it? Well, the only way it's going to stop it is when Jesus comes. That's the only way it's going to stop. When he comes back, he's going to set the record straight. Everything's going to be straight. And that's why you pray. Even so, you look at the last prayer of the Bible. Look what it says. Look at verse 16 of chapter 22 of Revelation. And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The last prayer of the Bible is that God's invitation. He's saying, come to me. And then John writes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the Bible gives a crown for those that love his appearing. And you ought to be looking up daily, looking for the Lord to come back. Amen. We'll get into chapter 19. Brother Ken, come on, take a prayer request, brother. Amen.